Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Giles Corran Has No Idea. It's called this not because I literally know nothing, but because it's all about the moment in the week when I have to sit down and write my column but have absolutely no idea what to write it about. Which is where my wife Esther comes in, who, having read all the papers whilst I take the kids to school, always has half a dozen ideas picked out for me when I get back to be discussed at the kitchen table over a nice cup of coffee. So are we going to address the elephant on the table?
Don't talk about my cat like that. The tiny weeny kitten that's on the table, playing with your
literally
cat.
Playing in the cutest possible way.
Yeah, it's really cute.
It could be worse. There could be two kittens.
Two of them. How have the kittens been for you so far, Giles?
They're fine. There's a sort of slight anxiety at the moment. It's just falling off the table. Because it's there, you know. I know in theory cats fall on their feet and cats are independent, and but these cats they don't know that yet.
No, it turns out kittens aren't.
He's drinking water.
Is he? Oh, well done. It turns out because we got these kittens this time. Was it this time yesterday? Was it yesterday?
48 hours ago.
This time 2 days ago, I bought these tiny kittens home, and They're the very, very lovely breeder I got them from. They're not pedigree hats, but they're a crossbreed. The very lovely breeder I got them from lives about an hour and a half away. And these two kittens just cried in the car for an hour and a half on the way home. And it was really distressing. It was really, really bad. It was like having tiny babies again, except tiny babies who ran away and hid from you under the furniture and wouldn't eat and wouldn't drink water and, you know... And everyone was really quite distressed about these tiny, terrified creatures that were suddenly in our house.
Sorry, were you talking? I can't help just filming
they're quite distracted,
our kittens
aren't they?
And then putting it on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's a totally cross-media...
Catstagram.
Not since we brought Kitty back from the hospital. And when I say Kitty, I mean the human child that we gave the name of a cat because...
Because I actually just wanted a cat.
Really wanted
cats, a baby.
And for 8 years, this poor... small woman has been just failing to be an actual pussycat.
Yeah.
Although she has sharp claws and an independent spirit and goes when you go anywhere near her.
She does, yeah.
But when I brought her home and that first, after about 48 hours, that first time I tried to give her a bath and we'd bought a special...
In the tummy tub.
Which is a giant plastic bucket, which they say is a good thing for washing babies in. And we filled it with water and tested it with our elbows. And then I picked up my baby daughter and lowered her into it and she just went... Wah! And just went purple.
I scared the cats there.
And I ran out of the bathroom. You're right there. I ran out of the bathroom into the bedroom and curled up in the corner and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried.
Yeah, that wasn't scary for me at all.
What? To have your screaming daughter in your hands, half drowned in the bath, and your husband curled up in the
ball. Curled up in the corner, yeah.
Weeping.
Sorry.
People will think I did something to you.
No. The cat... He's trying to climb up the back of my shirt with his little pin sharp little needle claws.
And not since I had
mind.
This...
I don't mind, but it's a bit of a surprise when you just see this guy clamping like...
We're going to try and give the kids naming rights, aren't we?
Up to a point, because given their own free reign, we started, what was it, Floofy and Bob.
Oh no, and then Sam wanted to call it Fluff because he was jealous of Kitty's one being called Floofy. So
and then
Floofy
we just
and Fluff
sort of
is
Tickles, Scratch.
Oh, all that vomitous Mr. Tickles and Mr. Really Bleh, and that which is just not okay.
So what we like, so the latest ones that we like is Dennis and Minnie.
Well, yeah, but that's because we've come to, he's opened my laptop and he's gone through my specially prepared list of excellent topical subjects to talk about in my podcast, and now he's written on it.
And he's sat on your keyboard.
He's on the producer's nuts now.
Yeah.
Quick, say anything you want. The producer's distracted and he just finds that the cables for the headphones are just too lovely. Ben, if you kill our kitten, it'll be problematic. So then we had this name
thing. The kitten likes Ben.
Where Kitty, I was trying to get Kitty to give it a classy name, and she's very into sort of Greek myths and the Olympians, these sort of graphic novels. And so, and she went, what about Athena? And we thought, oh pretentious.
Yeah.
And then Aphrodite, but then it would be Afri.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
And then she came up with Iris, which is lovely.
Iris is nice.
And then completely randomly, you had thought of Sam of calling the other one Murdoch.
After
Mad Murdoch from the A-Team.
Yeah.
Which would also be quite funny because Rupert Murdoch and all that.
He pays the kittens.
Pays the bills. So we'd have this cat called Murdoch. But never some figures. Kit, those are all my ideas. They've completely gone off the screen. You rap head. Oh, no. She's just trodden on, and all my thing about the YouGov survey about has gone. It's gone, you stupid cat.
No, don't talk.
It's not
a
stupid
cat.
It's a lovely cat. Sorry, you're a beautiful cat. Now you can play with it. I've put it on slumbery thing.
Getting ready to punch you in the face.
Literally deleted about four column ideas. The cat has to go. Anyway, so we had this situation where one was going to be called Iris. I love the fact that Ben, the producer, has just a ridiculous dopey post-coital.
Everyone's just staring at the kitten.
Going, oh. Giles is wanging on, but really anyone cares about the kitten. No, but we had the situation where Kitty wanted to call the cat Iris because of Greek myths, and Sam wanted to call his one Murdoch.
I think we can't call them Iris and Murdoch because we've never read any Iris Murdoch. And people just assume that we... yeah, who knows? I don't know. I mean...
He's certainly not very fashionable anymore. Well, we could try and move on to... Are you going to just do... I'm going to talk
really
and try and come up with a brilliant idea for a column and podcast, and you're just going to take Instagram this cat. Ooh, what's it doing?
But he's sort of literally playing with a ball of string sort of on his tum-tum. He's got a very, very cute tummy.
Should we postpone the podcast for 6 months until they've turned into boring cats that just...
You just slink around. No.
Look, let's segue. Do you know I only discovered that segue was pronounced segue like literally about 5 years ago? I used to just think it was you. Let's just sug into another subject. And
did you think that when people were saying like segue into another subject, it was S-E-G-W?
Idiots. I thought of them. You just sug into things. How did anybody decide that you would pronounce? You don't pronounce. It's not the football legue, is it?
Right.
It's not. Comes up with other example. It's not an ague. Is not an egue. What other words end in?
I have to say,
fugue. It's not preludes and fugues from Bach, and it's not
the evolution of the English language is a marvelous and thrilling thing.
What have you got for me?
Well, I have got the BBC have a new app, and the BBC have designed this app in order to help beat online bullying, cyberbullies. A phone app to help young children deal with cyberbullying will warn them if they are about to send unwise messages and suggest they head outside to play if they have been online for too long. It's called the Own It app. So it's quite a short story, but it reminded me almost instantly of Why Don't You? Although I think Why Don't You was on ITV. And the thing about Why Don't You was that television programme, and all it ever said was, why don't you turn off the television and go do something else more interesting?
So I suppose what would one write a column about? How I need one of these, and I could write a column in which it keeps intervening to stop me saying things. So I could say, sort of write a thing. Well, that's a small item, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a kind of a small item.
I would write it on the laptop if the cat wasn't going to come straight up and start typing on my laptop.
He came and sat on my
desk. So I would write a thing saying, those two circus performers have decided to raise their child without a gender. What a pair of absolute wah intervention.
Yeah.
Do you think it should be like that?
And maybe one day when we're all living in like Minority Report with those little kind of internet goggles on our, we could all just walk around and it would just tell us what to say and what not to say all the time.
You're right.
You're right, Ben.
Yeah. So that's still back being scratched, isn't it? Don't sit back.
Don't sit back, no, because that is just a Far Side cartoon.
That's Dennis brackets the Menace, possibly
Mo.
Luckily, we've got a cat expert coming round in about 15 minutes. Haven't we, Esther?
We've got a famous North London cat expert. We tracked him down.
We've never had a guest on this show before, but we have got a cat expert coming round to give us some advice about our kittens later. I haven't got a piece of paper to write the idea of this.
Would you like some paper and a pen?
Let's quickly do some more ideas. I would, yes. But you've got
there's a pad of paper behind you there. It's blue tacked to the surface, so you have to just rip off a page.
Why is it blue tacked to the surface?
So that people don't steal it.
Really? Is that the main thing of all the objects we have in our house? The thing you want to stop people stealing is the notepad?
The thing I look for most often in my kitchen is a notepaper, is a pad of paper and pen.
Okay, let's pile some things because this cat expert's coming here. What about the gold toilet installed at Blenheim, stolen a couple of days later? The artist said he is a real artist, the thief. What do we think about the gold toilet? Is it already too funny? Is it interesting?
I think it's already too funny. It's like you get every now and again, you get those most expensive sandwich in the world news stories. Some stupid restaurant trying to draw attention to itself makes a sandwich that costs £59 and it's got two funny...
You just do it in order to get attention for your toilet business by making a gold toilet. Speaking of which, our bathroom.
Oh, yes.
Just imagine, thinking of... Is it done yet?
Basically, it is done. It's totally functioning, but the wallpaper has to be replaced because it was hung wrong the first time around.
And they're going to put the brass fittings on the...
Yep, they are.
And that's going to happen quite soon. Can you imagine if it all just got stolen?
Yes.
Immediately afterwards. Can you imagine how long it took them at Blenheim Palace to get their gold loo? They finally got it in. The plumbers kept coming and said, oh, I'm sorry, I've not got correct sprocket for thing. I've not been able to fit. Goes away for 2 months. The Duke comes back. I think we're having the gold loo fitted today. I'm sorry, I have a wedding in Poland. I am not come back 6 weeks. The years they must have waited for finally for the blokes to come in and fit the toilet.
Does the toilet actually work?
The gold toilet?
Yeah. It's not an installation, it's an actual...
It's an actual toilet. And like two people, with the Duke it'll have finally arrived. The Duke would have sat down and finally had a poo. And the next day someone stole it.
Oh, Ben, you're being very, very stoical.
He has got two layers on, though. He's got a T-shirt under the big shirt.
Are the claws going straight through to your skin, though?
When I was exchanging with Ben yesterday, planning this podcast as we always do, and I said I had this renowned, famous cat expert coming around to look after our cat, he would say, yeah, but he makes sure he brings a story with him because the main thing is that we cover some news stories for columns. And, like, that's not going to happen, Ben. This is just a kitten cast.
Yeah, it is.
I've got one which I think I might be able to do. Here's quickly, let's try and do this one. Fashion faux pas at Catwalk Cathedral. That was in the Times. Basically, Julian McDonald held his catwalk fashion show of some
Catholic...
sort in Southwark Cathedral.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? Unholy row as cathedral. I read that as unholy row as cathedral. It's just unholy row as cathedral. Hosts risque fashion show. Look, they're all half naked. There they are.
Girls Julian Meowington Donald.
Julian Cat Donald. Julian McDogald. Southwark Cathedral has been accused of promoting the antithesis of the Christian gospel, Esther Walker, allowing its nave to be used as a cat walk. What about if I did... No, it's not the antithesis of the Christian gospel, and I did one of my Bible parodies, but it's all fashion-y.
I don't think
would
you
it
know
work it... without my special fashion designer voice?
I don't think it would. I don't think you know enough about fashion to do that.
Well, you could help me.
I don't know enough about fashion to do that.
Oh, you do.
I'm not sure that's going to work.
No, wait, what do you mean? Why would that not work?
Why wouldn't it work?
The way that you head off down to Oxford Street
it
to go
they,
to...
But they are both
very
worship.
Much like people congregating in the thing.
It
they
is.
Have Fashion Week.
Yes.
Let me talk about Easter Week.
You Holy see, Week,
this
yes.
is ridiculous. With the death of religion and the thing... Fashion, it's the only thing that should happen in the cathedral is fashion. They should all sit there in rows with the posh ones at the front. at the Christmas, you know how the local landowner goes... The Queen sits at the front. Not in our local church in Kentish Town. You know, there's don't go in the front because
the
Anna
front
Winter's
row, yeah.
going to be worshipping there. It's fucking brilliant.
She is quite often called the High Priestess of Fashion as well. So
is she?
Yes.
So you could... I'm going to write High Priestess. Is she called that really?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me why this is a bad idea.
It's
so
not a bad
I
idea.
So I do this
it's
idea
good.
About six paragraphs. Then I lurch into... In the beginning was the bell-bottom boot cut gap penis sheath.
That I can't... Penis
sheath. I'm sorry. I had to trying to get a laugh. So I went cock-oriented.
That I can help you with. That I can help
yeah,
you
fine.
With. Yeah.
So then I draw the parallels and I say they're all completely wrong. That's a column on its own. Why fashion?
Yeah.
Ben's nodding. Fine. Nailed.
Yes, yeah.
Where's the cat expert? Doing that one. Okay, look. How about...
The dictionary to ditch insulting terms for women.
Okay, fine. My word. 30,000 call for dictionary to ditch insulting terms for women. Lexica... word experts, will tell you it's not easy recording our ever-changing language, blah, blah, blah. Campaigners, I can see them now in their dungarees with their hair shaved on one side and a ponytail on the other side with a ring through their nose, smelling of aubergine puree and other vegan delights. Campaigners who want sexist words for woman stripped from dictionaries, and they're petitioning the OUP, the Oxford University Press, is considering updating its lexicons after more than 30,000 people called sexist definitions of the word woman and other words. So give me a non-sexist description of the word woman.
Can we just rewind? Yes.
So
this is not from the thesaurus. This is from the dictionary. And they want words such as baggage, wench, bird, biddy and filly exorcised entirely from the dictionary.
They're particularly angry that derogatory terms including... Oh, they're listed as synonyms for woman. Uh-oh, that's the cat expert. He can talk about all this with us, can't he?
He sure can.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
Keep your cheese in the sink.
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no.
Yes. How would that go in the booth?
Badly. Go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Yeah, that was the cat expert. He's here. Hi, thank you for coming.
That's my pleasure. The cats look great, by the way.
Do you like? Can you tell what they are?
Yes, they're kittens. they're grey kittens.
Well, Esther tells me. What are they, Esther? They're
one of them is a ragdoll Burmese cross, and the other one is a British shorthair Burmese cross.
Wow, because I did inquire of the paternity, well, maternity of these cats, because a cat expert will tell you that generally cats from the same mother... which I've got, actually.
Yeah.
They work really well together. Uh-oh. They operate as brother and sister or whatever. They're great. Siblings are great. And then Giles said to me, no, I think they're from the same father.
Yeah.
Now, this is a new one on me. Because cats, in general, don't go much for paternal responsibility.
Well, also,
you know what I mean? They don't tend to have, like... I don't, actually, are you Giles? Because Morwenna, so I'm giving away some of who I am now. But she tells me that I've never signed whatever it is, the father responsibility form. There's some sort of form.
For your children or for your cats?
For my children. She says that I've never... I don't know what this form is. That apparently there is some form that you're meant to sign to say, I am the father of these children.
Oh, you've never signed the birth certificate.
Surely I have. Is it a birth certificate?
That's the form that you famously have.
Really?
I think she's probably... Someone has written down that you are the father, but you haven't put your signature on it.
Really?
I think so.
That can't be right. So. But my point is, coming back, I don't know how you know that it's the same father.
I got these kittens from a breeder.
Breeder.
Yeah, so she...
Never
so
done
the
that.
Dad was this giant tomcat who had to live outside. And I
think his balls were so big.
That big.
Yes,
his Roald Dahl created it.
Yes, okay. It was a very, very
the giant tomcat who had to live outside is definitely
he
a
had
bloke.
To live outside because he was a very I think he just sprayed everywhere, so he had to live in the garden. So,
okay.
So this massive, great big dad
did
tomcat
lives
in the. I did, yes.
were you frightened?
I think he was more frightened than I was, but okay. I'm very glad he didn't spray me in the face because he certainly sprayed the breeder in the face.
Okay, really?
Which, yes, he was quite a...
He sprayed the breeder in the face?
Well, yeah, and later on the breeder gave birth from their forehead. That's the incredible thing.
The extraordinary thing is that in humans, it's the women who spray you in the face when the sex is on.
Oh my God, Giles has said that. Can we cut it?
I mean, yes, no.
It all stays. It has to stay. Listen, what questions do we have? As a cat breeder, you're very good on this terminology, like
grey
and stuff.
Yeah.
No, someone who's a cat. If you put him as a cat expert, and you know about editing tape.
Should I say who I am?
What's your name?
My name is David Baddiel, and I am a cat expert.
I am.
I do.
But you're not the same. Are you the one with the whole with the three lions thing?
That's the cat thing. That's where I get my whole cat thing from. It's big cats as well.
Because I was actually, funny enough, talking to someone the other day and talking about you and talking about David Baddiel and showing off how I, and they said, oh, he's a real cat expert. And I thought, I wasn't sure whether they knew you also did a bit of comedy and bits and
writing
pieces. I think they literally, because you are, it's in the public domain that you're massively into cats.
Well, this is really, I am genuinely interested in this, even if your listeners aren't, which is that Pip, our mum cat, who is a really extraordinary cat, by the way. She's the only cat I've ever come across who's very particular about who she likes in the family, and she really only likes my daughter. I mean, but she's obsessed with my daughter. Although, interestingly, in different parts of the house, she is emotionally connected in different ways. So she's quite nice to me upstairs, hates me downstairs. Anyway, she's a terrible traveller and cries all the way. Ron, who is one of her children, and who has got... who I think looks very like a lion. He's got very big paws. He's polydactyl. So here you see, I am a cat expert. Do you know what that means?
Having many fingers.
Yes.
But Ernest Hemingway cat.
Yes, Ernest Hemingway cat.
A pterodactyl just has really scary fingers.
Yeah, that can fly. Yeah.
Ka-ching.
Yeah. No, a kitten's just come onto the table. It is a very beautiful thing, but it's gone. The polydactyl cat has 6 or 7, in the case of Ron, fingers?
Extra toes.
Are they fingers?
I think they're toes.
They're toes. Ernest Hemingway used to only like those cats. I had like 40 of them.
I thought you were going
to
say Ernest Hemingway had like 9 fingers.
He himself was polydactyl. That was always good at typing. but nonetheless, no, he only liked those kind of cats. I don't know why. And he had, I think, 40 of them. Okay. And that's an interesting thing in terms of the cat thing, just to come back to it, is I think it still persists, and I've noticed this when I put stuff about cats online, on Instagram or Twitter, is it is mainly women who respond, as if it still is the case.
Is that why you put out the You're a Cat Expert?
No.
That lonely people have dogs that they take and they hope they'll find love.
No, as you know about me, Giles, I don't think, how can I get like, unlike you, I don't think, how can I get like, how can I get women to like me?
I don't have those conversations where the wife is here. we do.
Yeah, I just think in terms of what do I want to say, and I do just genuinely really like cats, but I think it persists, the idea that somehow isn't that male, even though Ernest Hemingway, the most male in the history of literature, apart from maybe, who do you think?
Apart from more, well...
I'm trying to think here. No, I think it's Hemingway.
Well, I was going to throw back, except you're saying he likes cats, but the thing is, a lot of people say that Ernest Hemingway was probably not all that male, and he was protesting too much when, in fact, being quite feminine and liking boys and stuff. And
really?
That he went out and did all this big game hunting and fishing to try and live up to a macho ideal instilled in him by his father. You're saying he stayed at home with his cats writing. Basically, he was Agatha Christie.
And they all had too many paws.
Everyone just typing. The cats probably writing as well. Maybe because he had so many... That's why he wrote such short sentences. Because he had to keep getting up and feeding a different cat.
Yeah. I have to get the cat off his
God, I've got to give it whiskers. I'll just write the bell told. Yes, so anyway, I do love cats. Did you ever see, I wrote an article about the last adult cat I had who I had to put down,
oh,
Monkey.
I
wrote an article about that. I got the most extraordinary response to it. But actually, in all the cats I've had, and I've had loads of them, I've never actually had to put one down. They've either just died, disappeared in a very graceful way. Chairman Meow, who was my cat with the best name. Actually, Frank Skinner was responsible for that very good pun. But Chairman Meow had the good grace to just disappear in a kind of Chinese old person way. She went off to the mountain, never saw her again, which was brilliant.
Probably went to China where they respect old age.
Exactly. That's what I think. Was Chairman Meow. That's why she went there.
She old?
She was really old, But they've either been killed, you know, by cars, or they've disappeared, or whatever. Finally, I had to take Monkey, who I really loved, and who was 21, and he was an incredibly nice cat. I must just tell you something Monkey did. I mean, I know this is now too much about cats, and we want to move on, but I do think this is extraordinary, right? Monkey was just... I had all these other cats, Pip and Ron and Tiger, and all these kittens appeared over the time that I also had Monkey. And Monkey just was... It took it with a good grace. And once, Morwenna, who has a study at the top floor of our house, was there, and Monkey, who really lived downstairs where the food was, appeared meowing and meowing and meowing. She just thought, oh, he wants food, okay. So she comes down. He doesn't go down to the kitchen. He goes to another room, and the door is shut in that room, and Tiger is behind the door, and his paw is coming through, and Monkey, in a kind of lassy way, meows and meows and says, look, Tiger is stuck behind the door, can you help? And I've never seen a cat do that, because famously quite selfish, not like dogs, don't help out. Have you had cats before? You've had cats
when
before?
I was younger, yeah.
Okay, so cats sometimes do this thing, and Ron does it all the time, of like going somewhere else to eat. right? Because they think, like, I don't want, not enough
like
food.
Like 16 a sit.
Yeah, like 16 a sit, exactly.
Sorry, my phone, which I won't answer. How do you turn, stop it making a noise?
You must know how to do it over many years.
No, Giles doesn't know how to do anything on his phone.
Okay, that's weird. So anyway, so it went to a woman called Caroline, I think her name was. Chairman used to go to a woman called Caroline. And Caroline used to sort of feed her a lot and sort of keep and kind of thought it was her cat. And eventually I kind of confronted her about this, and she said, all right, I'll get a collar, because she didn't have a collar. I'll get a collar for her, and I'll make sure people know it's your cat. Okay, so she got a collar for the chairman, and and it had my phone number on it, because obviously I had to give her my phone number to say where my cat was. But she didn't put Chairman Meow on it, she put David on it. So the cat had David and my phone number on it. And honestly, for years, I just thought, well, the problem with that is one day, Morwenna's going to get a phone call saying, David's been in a road accident. Shall I just hit him with a shovel?
Yes,
definitely do that. He was always shitting in my garden anyway. So.
When I asked you last night if you wanted to come along and be on our podcast,
yes.
You said...
I said kittens always bait, I think. I said,
yeah. Oh, bait. Weird. I thought you were going to say sell, but you're quite right.
Said, it's just, that's sort of weird.
I might be able to pop to you tomorrow morning. Two kittens is quite a lot of bait for me.
It is.
It's probably have to plug about 15 things I'm doing in between strokes. Well, do you want to plug something? Because Ben can cut it out. Are you doing your brilliant Trolls Not the Dolls still?
Trolls Not the Dolls, I am going to be touring next year. You've seen an early version of it, but it's got better.
It is
since
really,
then.
Really good. Well, thank you. And if it weren't, I would take great glee in saying.
Well, there is something, of course, that could be a column for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Do you not know, are you not aware of this? Right, okay, so I got a bit worried about Trolls Not the Dolls recently. I had a bit of a conversation with your colleague Hugo Rifkind about this, which is that there is... Do you not know this? It should be in the papers. There's an initiative with Gary Lineker and Eddie Izzard and Rachel Riley and others. Something's come out saying how to deal with trolls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's all like, don't feed them, don't engage with them, don't just ignore them, just block them, blah, blah. And, of course, that is not my policy. My policy is absolutely engage them all the time, make them look stupid, treat them like hecklers. And if you're a comedian, what you do is you don't ignore hecklers, you repeat the heckle, if anything, and then you use it against them to make them look stupid. But the advice of this new initiative is absolutely not to do that. And so you could write about that.
I was wondering, did you see the story about a petition to the OED, 30,000 protesters campaigning to have the sexist words for woman stripped from the dictionary.
Synonyms, okay. Sexist okay, synonyms.
You'll have to tell me the story. But I did see, I saw the headline, and I thought I probably won't read that.
Well, there's a story. Well, what is the story? It's the story, Esther.
What are the words?
There are words such as bitch, wench, mare, and baggage. Others are all listed as synonyms
for woman.
Oh, are they? So bitch is not listed as female dog.
That'll be
as well
first, probably.
Right, but it's also listed as derogatory.
Cinnamon. Yeah,
to say derogatory.
But I think the campaign is saying they shouldn't be there.
It shouldn't be there at all.
And what are the words that shouldn't be there? Or what about sexist definitions that shouldn't be there?
Okay, well that's weird, isn't it? I don't agree with that. Surely, I mean, it should be clear that they're derogatory, but to say they don't exist in a dictionary. Which should include ugly, awful words, shouldn't it?
Well, it should, shouldn't it? Yeah. So the OUP, the Oxford University Press, said, we appreciate feedback on our lexical content, which always means fuck off.
Really. It always means get lost, yeah.
It's worth reiterating that our dictionaries reflect rather than dictate how language is used. Is that true?
I think it's true of dictionaries, but I think we come here, don't we, to a very particular problem we have between probably our generation and the coming generation, which is, I think, our generation is more accepting of these very ugly and awful things need to be there and recognised and understood and challenged or whatever, whereas they're not everyone at all, but some in the coming generation think, no, they should just be erased.
Exactly. Okay, so here, and if I'm looking for my column, which starts there and goes somewhere silly, we're talking about a dictionary is not a safe space.
Yes.
What are other things you'd have to take out of the dictionary to make millennials feel fine?
Almost all of it.
Almost all of it.
You would have to remove...
If, as you're going to do in this article, you're going to exaggerate and caricature millennials as being absurdly over-worried about, you know, anything that might trigger them or upset them, going to be able, I think, when you write this piece, to say you're going to have to take out the word the.
Is that the place? That's the place to end, isn't it?
Yeah.
But this is a good column, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good column.
We start off and say,
it's very
say
you.
We must. Well, what do you mean by that exactly?
What I mean is, it's you adopting the position of grumpy old, you know, non-millennial who's annoyed that he can't just say what he likes and make jokes about what he likes, but in a slightly more nuanced way.
Although young people think I don't.
Yes.
So that's correct. These people I will be trying to take the piss out of think that I'm a terrible bastard or sexist racist person.
I'm aware of that.
But I'm not, am I?
I don't think you are, no. I wouldn't be here if I actually thought you were that, no.
Have you got any other column ideas, darling?
I liked your the first folio of Shakespeare thing. Whoever it was is
annotated. Did you see this story? So they found an edition of the first folio, 1623, with annotations which a number of scholars seem to believe might be Milton's.
Yeah.
What might Milton have written in the margins of Shakespeare?
This was shit. Exactly. Paradise Lost much better. It's bloody anti-Semitic, this play about Shylock and stuff like that.
No, wait, that's good. Anti-Semitism.
Yes, no, that's good, that's good.
Keep,
that's good.
Keep going. Stay away from... you know, sort of Cambridge DPhil level thesis point.
I think Milton. I saw Ronaldo, for example, being interviewed yesterday.
Now Ronaldo's notes on Shakespeare was really fascinating.
I saw Ronaldo being interviewed yesterday by Piers Morgan on ITV, and it seems.
I love how you've gone from Shakespeare and Milton to Ronaldo and Piers Morgan.
Well, because this point is about half the interview was Piers Morgan saying, "Do you think you or Messi?" A number one, right? And obviously Ronaldo said, well, I'm number one. Messi's a great player, but I am the greatest player of all time, he said, which actually I think is not an implausible idea. But the point is, I like the idea that in the same way, Milton is thinking, no, I'm number one. People go on about Shakespeare, but I'm number one. And so I'm trying to make it funny.
This is brilliant.
And what I'm doing is saying, Ronaldo versus Messi, Milton versus Shakespeare.
Yeah, really it is. Good. That's
and people funny. Would sort of gather around at the time, and people were very much on the streets of London. No, it's Shakespeare. Nah,
exactly.
With
exactly.
T-shirts. That's quite funny.
Which one won the poet door more often? That's what I think we should think about.
Because turning it into a column, the other thought that I had about turning that into a column, although I like David's idea better, but just to give you an option, you could have people commenting on other people's work. So what would Shakespeare's notes on, Stormzy's lyrics be,
or going backwards, it would be on what Shakespeare thought of John Lilly's euphues,
but rivalries in general, and starting with Milton and Shakespeare. And
you could just make it really petty. And
yeah, really petty. Yeah.
This is misspelled because we just found all the crappy Shakespeare spellings. Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about? And what's Hamlet? This? Why? Why does he pretend to be mad? It doesn't help at all.
Yeah.
King Lear, where's the mum?
The ending of Hamlet, just shit. Just kill everyone.
Yeah.
I can't think of an ending. Kill everyone.
Yes, what do you just do? And then I woke up. That would be better.
So we'll do a Milton's notes thinking Shakespeare was really, really shit. This will never catch on.
And I think you should. I think I quite like my idea of like the great literary rivalries throughout the years. But I think concentrating on Milton versus Shakespeare is probably better because you can build Milton up to be this kind of absurd person. I mean, who knows what it was
just
like.
Furious, a bit like me and Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Yeah, and it's not really like that. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, to be fair, is Esther's problem. My problem is
I have no problem with Phoebe. I think she's amazing.
She does think she's amazing.
Not but, Esther's problem. It's your problem.
But we've had in the
it's always your problem.
I know, but it's like my problem is with you. I say, he's not that funny. Why is he so rich?
Yeah.
That song, if I could have sung that fucking Three Lions song.
That's it. I'm out of here. Never mind the fucking kids.
No, but you know what I mean? That I know you don't suffer from it as much. We've had
long conversations with you about it.
I know.
I remember once standing on Finchley Road after we went for one of our meals that we go to occasionally, where basically, listeners, you may or may not know this, that occasionally I just tap up Giles and say, look, you're a restaurant critic, take me for an expensive meal. And for some reason, we were on Finchley Road. Oh, yeah, we went to JW3. That was one of your least expensive ones.
It was very good, though.
It was quite good, but, you know, JW3, for fuck's sake. Anyway.
I've got this Jew badgering me for dinners all the time. Yeah. They open up a restaurant called Jew W3, 10 minutes from his house.
Yeah, I know.
He took you there to punish you, David.
I remember standing on Finchley Road with me basically saying, why are you so angry all the time? And then he listed all these people that he knew at Oxford and at school who were richer than him. And I thought, for fuck's sake, all of those people will be jealous of you. That's what I said to you at the time. They would all be jealous of you.
Because I get to have lunch with David Baddiel on the Finchley
Road. You have a much more exciting life than them in their stupid hedge funds. You do. I mean that seriously. Yeah. I don't think you accept that. In their stupid hedge funds.
Why isn't David your therapist? Why do you have this?
Because I can't afford him.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with Giles Corran and Esther Walker. It's a Times podcast produced by Ben Mitchell. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to avoid ever missing an episode. If you want to find out what I wrote about in the end, there's a link to the column in the podcast description. And for the full live experience, you can tune into my radio show every Sunday night from 7 till 10 p.m. on Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.